loyalty to friends, and to the Lord. His faithful attention to such dear friends underscores one of the qualities that stands out conspicuously for those who know him best, his loyalty. With those who are his friends, and almost everyone he meets becomes a friend, a bond of loyalty develops that is never broken. Companions of his youth are still good friends. Given the opportunity, for example, to enjoy one of the executive boxes at a Utah Jazz basketball game, he might invite civic and business leaders or other influential acquaintances to join him. But often as not, he will choose to invite some of those much less prominent friends of yesteryear and follow the basketball action with them enthusiastically. Even those who do not know these associates can enjoy listening as President Monson reminisces about past times with them, always conveying, even in the tone of his voice, the loyalty he still has for them. This reminds us of another kind of loyalty so characteristic of Thomas S. Monson, loyalty to the voice of the Spirit. As a young bishop, he received a call one evening informing him that an older member of his ward had been taken to the Veterans Hospital in Salt Lake City for treatment. Could he come to give the man a blessing? He was asked. Bishop Monson explained that he was just on his way to a stake meeting, but he would stop by the hospital as soon as the meeting was over. At that leadership meeting, he felt unsettled, ill at ease. A prompting came strongly, "Leave the meeting at once and go directly to the hospital." But surely it would be discourteous to walk out while the stake president was speaking, wouldn't it? He waited until the end of the stake president's address and then made his way to the door even before the closing prayer. At the hospital, he found himself running down the corridor. There seemed to be a flurry of activity outside the man's room, and a nurse stopped the new arrival. "Are you Bishop Monson?" she asked. "Yes," was his anxious reply. "I'm sorry," the nurse replied. "The patient was calling your name just before he passed away." As the young bishop walked out of the hospital that night, he vowed he would never again fail to act on an impression from the Lord. No man could have been more true to that vow. Indeed, his life has been one miracle after another in response to his faithful adherence to promptings of the Spirit. Perhaps that experience at the hospital was in the back of his mind years later as a member of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles, when his visit to a stake conference became something out of the ordinary. He had been originally assigned to visit another stake that weekend, but there was a need to change the assignment. Elder Monson knew of no special significance to the place when President Ezra Taft Benson, then president of the Quorum of the 12, said, "Brother Monson, I feel impressed to have you visit the Shreveport, Louisiana stake." Arriving in Shreveport, Elder Monson learned of a 10-year-old, Crystal Methvin, suffering from terminal cancer, who had a desire to receive a blessing from one general authority in particular, him. He studied the schedule of conference meetings and found there was no time for the 80-mile trip to Crystal's home. He asked the stake president to have Crystal remembered in the public prayers during the stake conference. The Methvin family understood the travel problem but prayed nevertheless that their daughter's desire might be realized. Elder Monson was preparing to speak in the Saturday evening leadership meeting when, as he recalls, "I heard a voice speak to my spirit. The message was brief, the words familiar. Suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God." Mark chapter 10, verse 14. With the help of the stake president, a visit to the Methvin home was quickly arranged for the following morning. It was a solemn and sacred experience for those involved. Only 4 days after receiving the desired blessing, Crystal returned home to her Heavenly Father. Frequently, events such as this one created spiritual ripple effects in the lives of others. Speaking in a general conference in October 1975, Elder Monson shared Crystal's story. Seeing a little blonde girl of about Crystal's age in the balcony of the tabernacle, he felt moved to address his remarks to her. After relating the story of Crystal's heartfelt desire that Heavenly Father lovingly honored, Elder Monson said in conclusion, "To you, my little friend in the upper balcony, and to believers everywhere, I bear witness that Jesus of Nazareth does love little children, that he listens to your prayers and responds to them. When Elder Monson returned to his office after that session of conference, he found the young blonde girl from the balcony waiting for him with her grandmother. The little girl had been trying to decide whether to be baptized. Someone close to her had advised her to wait until she was 18. She had asked her grandmother to take her to conference, with faith that Jesus would help her find an answer. Taking Elder Monson's hand, she said, "You helped him answer my prayer. Thank you." She was baptized soon afterward. Throughout Thomas Monson's ministry, there have been regular, recurring, dramatic experiences in answering the whispered beckonings of the Spirit. A visit at just the right moment to give a desired blessing, a response to someone's unspoken need, a marshaling of help from leaders and members at the time when someone needed it most. President Monson would point out that these experiences have come through the workings of the Holy Ghost and not through any special talent or ability of his own. The sweetest feeling you can have in this world is to feel the hand of the Lord upon your shoulder, he says with emotion. And my patriarchal blessing, as a boy, I was promised that I would have the gift of discernment. I have to acknowledge that such a declaration has been abundantly fulfilled in my life. Those lessons he began learning as a young man have been strengthened and amplified through the years.